This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
For you in the morning. Not a stomach growl. That's a Roy Orbison growl for Pretty Woman. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. Tampa Bay's libertarian radio voice. Yes, I am Paul Molloy. It is Wednesday, December 30th already. Holy cow. One more day, huh? Thank you for joining us. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Stephen Parenti of the American Enterprise Institute. Here's the question, my friends. Does worldwide healthcare rankings accurately reflect how well a country is really doing for its citizens in terms of keeping them healthy? I mean, you hear about all of these different countries. Maybe Sweden is doing this and Canada's doing that. What's America doing, you know? So we'll talk with Steve. He's kind of an expert in it. I think you're going to find it very interesting. Also, the Supreme Court. For 2016, a bunch of politically charged cases, I mean like you have never seen before, abortion, affirmative action, unions, voting, and we're going to talk a little bit about what is on their docket, so you will definitely want to stay tuned for that. And our ultimate top 10 list, the top 10 strangest animal discoveries in 2015. You will not want to miss it. Freedom Works. By the way, we are sponsored in part by Andrew the Master Barber and his shop located in the Columbia Plaza just west of Highway US 19 on State Road 580. I mean, you just get off 19 and there it is on the right. It's the best haircut you're going to get for sure in the county of Pinellas, I think in Tampa Bay. And the price is terrific as well. And when you go in there, you will feel so comfortable with Andrew and his daughter Candy and the atmosphere. Andrew the Master Barber in the Andrew Master Barber Shop, Columbia Plaza. Look for the yellow sign with red letters just as you go under the viaduct or exit 19 going west. It's open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. And remember, if you like our show, you will love Andrew the Master Barber. Now, if you want to call in, you are welcome to do so. 866-826-1340. 866-826-1340. Toll free anywhere in the country. And please go to the website, thefreedomworks.com. Because if you do, you can listen to our show anytime your little heart desires. Big Ed sets up all the shows on there. You just hit the podcast button. You'll see all our shows. You'll see the guests. You'll see the topic with the guest. Hey, you can pause the show, take a bathroom break, come back and listen. You'll learn. TheFreedomWorks.com. All right. Well, we have a lot to, you know, I was listening to, I listen to it every morning when I get up, C-SPAN. And why? Because they have this call-in show. I always love some of the people that call in. I mean, the people that call in are worth the price of admission, both good and bad. And they had a topic, they had the topic today about health care and the Affordable Care Act. Is it working? I mean, I wished I could have called in just to say a few things about whether or not I think it's working, or have I seen it work, or have I experienced it myself. And this is why I'm really looking forward to talking with Steve Parenti. He's not only, by the way, he wrote an article for the American Enterprise Institute, but he's the Minnesota insurance industry chair of health finance. And he's director of the Medical Industry Leadership Institute at the University of Minnesota. So I think he's on a boat, by the way, this morning. So it's going to be very interesting to talk with him. Ed's already got him lined up. Ed, I think he's on a boat. Did you know that? Did he tell you he's on a boat? I don't know where he is, but I'm guessing he's in one of the lakes in Minnesota. Do you know?
He said it's a little windy, but we're going to try it.
Yeah. And he's got a boat phone, too. Listen, this will be fun. I just don't want him to fall out of the boat when he's talking to me, Ed. So you're going to have to make sure he does not do that. He doesn't lose his balance. A lot of times, people become unbalanced when they talk here on the show. You know that. Anyway, we'll be talking with Steve in just a few minutes. In the meantime, I want to talk a little bit about the Supreme Court for 2016. They have so many important cases, at least in my mind, very politically charged cases. And they include abortion, affirmative action, contraceptives, immigration, voting rights. Going to give you a taste, a little taste of what we are in store for here. And remember, basically, we got a 5-4 one way or the other on a lot of these cases. We've got that Justice Kennedy, Anthony Kennedy, sort of the middle guy. So you got three conservative and three liberal judges, generally, not always, with Kennedy being the one that goes back and forth. But here are some of the major cases that they'll be looking at. Abortion. They will decide whether Texas can enforce two regulations that would force about 75% of the abortion clinics to shut down there. One requires the clinics to use only doctors that have hospital privileges. In other words, they're going to make sure that it's a truly good doctor that's at the abortion clinic. A second one would require abortion clinics to match the standards of any outpatient surgical center. Now, what does that say? It says that a lot of these places aren't very sanitary, right? Okay. Affirmative action. The court's conservative wing apparently believes the Constitution and the civil rights laws forbid schools and colleges from admitting students based on their race. You know, I'm reading this story, which comes out of the Duluth News Tribune. Come on now. The Constitution does forbid things based on race in its own way. And so affirmative action and whether or not it should continue. There are certain cases that are coming before the courts that will indeed perhaps move the court more in the settlement of that issue. Do you favor some people over another based on their race or ethnicity? Union fees. The court could deal a severe blow to the union movement in a California case. They're going to hear a free speech challenge to pro-union laws in more than 20 states that require all public employees that require that all public employees pay a fair share fee to their unions, even if they're opposed to the union and don't want to join it. A fair share fee. You got to pay a fair share fee even if you don't want to join the union. Another one is voting districts. Voters elect representatives based on districts, and they're drawn to represent supposedly equal numbers of people. But there's an appeal from Texas that argues that these districts should represent roughly equal numbers of eligible voters, not just the total population. So that's another interesting one. Also, contraceptives. The court's going to decide its fourth case regarding Obama's health care law and a second one regarding a religious freedom challenge to a regulation that requires that employers include contraceptive coverage, even if their Christian beliefs are against it. And finally, immigration. The fate of Obama's broadest effort to shield immigrants from deportation rests with some cases out of Texas and also New Orleans, both of which have blocked Obama's latest immigration action. So there you go. That's a taste of it. We're going to take our break, and when we come back, we'll talk with Steve Parenti.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Lightning fans, there's no better time to reserve your 2015-16 season tickets than now. Season ticket members get the best seats, the best discounts, playoff priority, exclusive player access, and more. Reserve your 2015-16 season tickets by calling 813-301-6600 or visit TampaBayLightning.com. The Tampa Bay Lightning. Be the Thunder.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is
all... Hi, it's Mike Riso, one of the professional golf instructors at Clearwater Country Club. Our daily golf tips are here to help you improve your game as simply and quickly as possible. Tune in each morning and we'll have a fresh new golf tip that'll help you with your putting, chipping, pitching, and sand shots, and lower your scores at distance and boost your confidence too. Like to play Clearwater Country Club? We're open to the public, and afternoon rates start at only $26.95. We're conveniently located on North Betty Lane off Drew Street. For tee times, call the Pro Shop at 727-461-4188 or find us on the web at clearwatercountryclub.com.
Hi, this is Pryor Smith speaking from Toronto. Again this winter season, upwards of 4 million Canadians are spending vacation time in Florida. Each day, they're continuing a 62-year tradition, tuning in Canada Calling on radio. Their daily up-to-the-minute news from home on the Tantalk Radio Network. Join us each day, Monday through Saturday at 9 a.m. and 12 noon. The latest news from home, continuing a 62-year broadcast tradition, right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on Freedom Works, and we're delighted to have Steve Parenti of the American Enterprise Institute. He's written an article for them, Do Health System Rankings Matter When Monitoring Health Reform? Now, Steve is director of the Medical Industry Leadership Institute at the University of Minnesota, and he's the Minnesota Insurance Industry Chair of Health Finance in the Carlson School of Management. And Steve, in my 14 years of doing this show, I don't think I have ever interviewed somebody that's literally in a boat somewhere, but I understand you are, and I just got to ask, if you don't mind, where are you?
Well, I'm actually out on the Atlantic Ocean, just off the British Virgin Islands.
Really?
Really?
What a place to be. How is the calm weather?
The winds are blowing at about 15 to 16 knots, and there's about 6 to 8 foot seas. So good thing there's autopilot. So.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we're going to finish this interview in time so you don't fall out of your boat. That's number one. And secondly, we cannot thank you enough, really, for taking time between holidays like this to talk with us. So with that out of the way, you've written this article about health system rankings. I find this extremely interesting because in this article, you mention that the World Health Organization has ranked the United States 37th out of 191 countries and behind all other industrialized countries. I find that almost incredible. Could you explain that?
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of it tends to be that the U.S. has factors, when you look at how WHO looks at things, that don't bode well for us. So there's issues about smoking. One of the biggest issues we have is violent deaths that come from handguns. So there's certain things that are about the U.S. that are a little rougher in terms of how we eat, how we live. And those things don't compare as favorably, you know, to Europe. The thing to keep in mind, though, is that it depends what state you're looking at. Some states are, you know, much safer. Other states are a little more rougher. But the U.S. is a very, you know, varied and vast nation. And so this is, in my view, one of the things that makes it dynamic.
But I can't believe that anybody would really believe that if you come to the United States, your health care is going to be worse than any other industrialized country. At one time, Steve, we were clearly number one. Clearly number one in health care.
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, I mean, part of it is some of it's lifestyle choices. You know, some of it is just the way the metrics themselves are calculated, too. You know, one thing we try to do in the article that goes along with that piece is actually show that those rankings are highly variable depending upon what you count and what
right.
you don't count.
Right.
So, you know, if you count things differently, we're not really that bad, actually. We're never number one, per se. And it kind of depends upon what you mean number one at. If we're talking about getting our health care, it's arguable that U.S. has the best healthcare system, you know, in the world when you have something that's catastrophic. But day in, day out, you know, things we do to ourselves, how we live, you know, it's not always the best. A lot of it's correlated with wealth, too. You know, a wealthy society, we eat a little more, we exercise less, we do more sedentary things that give us joy.
Do you tend to believe these rankings? I mean, taking all of that into effect, murder rates, our eating habits, do you tend to believe that the World Health Organization's rankings are actually accurate? Would you discard them? How do you feel?
No, I mean, I think they're one metric, and there's in a sea of metrics, to get my sailing analogy out here. I mean, the one thing to keep in mind is that these things are highly variable depending upon what you put in or put out. There isn't one, and what you also have to understand is that it's very much a metric that depends upon what the other countries themselves supply to WHO. So in other words, WHO doesn't have, you know, thousands of people on the ground to collect exactly what you need. You're very dependent upon what the country presents as their statistics. And sometimes you don't have enough information and you make assumptions, and those assumptions could actually lead to having you be much, much, much better off as in a ranking than you otherwise would be. So that's really what we tried to show is that, you know, it's fine to try to do these rankings like you would for like a football league, you know, to see how things stack up. But, you know, at the same time, you know, where we thought college football would start this year is not where it ended up. Same thing for these rankings.
I see. We're talking with Steve Parenti. He is on a boat somewhere near the Virgin Islands and has been good enough to talk with us. He is the Minnesota Insurance Industry Chair of Health Finance in Carlson School of Management, Director of the Medical Industry Leadership Institute, University of Minnesota. And we're talking about an article in the American Enterprise Institute's website that he wrote about health system rankings. You know, the Affordable Care Act comes along, the idea is that we want to insure everybody. We want to make sure everybody has a chance to be covered and nobody is left on the curb. And yet it seems we create more trouble. We create it ends up being worse for everybody in general rather than better. Do you get that feeling, or what is your feeling about this attempt in effect to have Washington cover all of us?
Well, it is just that. It's an attempt. I mean, we're not going to cover all of us, and you know, there's a lot of other issues that besides what's going on here. I mean, you know, one of the things that takes our rankings down, too, is we have a lot of, we have a fairly substantial, you know, non-citizen, whether you call it illegal or immigrant-ish population there that
non-citizens, yeah,
that uninsured number. And they also count in terms of the health number, too, actually, in terms of driving it down. So, you know, if you're trying to fix that issue, that's a whole different policy issue. If you take that population off the table, though, our number of uninsured aren't necessarily that much off other countries. Now, other countries have just made it part of their policies after World War II to just say everybody's covered. But at the same time, there's a question of what that coverage is. So the U.S. generally can give people better access to diagnostic tests and the more advanced therapies when they need them quicker. You know, some countries there are some exceptions, but most of those countries, whether they're Scandinavia, Switzerland, they're pretty small. You know, it's a lot different to manage a country of, you know, 320-odd million souls versus, you know, Switzerland.
Absolutely.
With, you know, not even 10.
Yeah, you know, they mention Sweden a lot of the times. You know, Sweden does this and Sweden does that. Because they have a bit of a socialistic system, But they also have a somewhat, I guess you might say, or at least up until recently, they pretty much had a culture that was, there were not a lot of minorities that were pouring in. And they were able, with a small country like that, to adapt to a redistribution of wealth. Here in our country, I don't think it works as well. Do you agree with that, or do
no,
you?
I mean, Sweden, to a certain extent, it's almost the same size population as Minnesota.
Right.
There's a lot of overlap, you know, culturally. I mean, what's interesting is that Sweden has actually changed their tune quite a bit. I mean, they found that they stayed strictly to a redistributionist policies, socialist policies, they were going to be losing out economically. And so they've scaled back a lot of that and encouraged entrepreneurship to the point of changing their subsidies and paying people for coming up with a new patent and idea. You know, hence you have Spotify coming out of Sweden rather than Silicon Valley. So, I mean, their attitudes have changed quite a bit. But in terms of healthcare, they see it as a priority and right. But they also look at, you know, health behaviors and just how you live your life and how you are active and out all the time very differently as well. So, for example, Minnesota, people are out very actively in the winter, just like they would be
yes.
in Sweden. That makes a big difference rather than sitting at home waiting for the snow to go away.
Yeah, in fact, Minnesota is one of the healthier states, right?
Right. And part of that is, I think, just an attitude of being out and about as much as you can. And, people who don't like that, they don't stay. I mean, I think part of what Minnesota's secret is that it makes it pretty clear to folks, you know, if this is what you want, come on in and stay. And those that do stay, myself included, you have a hard time ever wanting to leave.
Right. It's a wonderful state that way. Now, a little further to the north, Canada, they have, we talk about going to a total government-run healthcare program. Well, basically, in Canada, you have that, although the provinces... Each of the provinces oversee it, but it's basically a state-run or government-run program. Now, where does Canada rank in, let's say, in the WHO rankings?
They rank higher. I mean, they have better provider access in part because the physicians are more available in that provincial system for pretty common procedures. For the more advanced procedures, you might be waiting a bit longer or coming to the U.S. And again, in terms of diabetes and other metrics, in terms of smoking, gun violence, I mean, they look better there as well. And even though Canada is very big, as a lot of the population is really concentrated in only three of the provinces, and the rest are really almost outposts in terms of their size, given their land mass.
Now, that makes sense. You're right. So looking overall, Steve, at your article, let me ask you the question you ask in the headline. Do the health system rankings of the world really matter when it comes to healthcare reform, do you think?
I think the question is they do, but with a really giant asterisk that says, you know, you got to know what's inside them and understand that it's if you're going to conduct policy by them, that's not a good idea. They're since I'm in the Caribbean, we'll go with a Pirates of the Caribbean kind of quote. It's not so much the rules; they're guidelines. They give us a sense of what's going on, but they're not ironclad.
Well, I want to thank you again, Steve. Really, most interesting conversation about these rankings. And coming from a guy that's in a boat on autopilot near the Great Virgin Islands, I cannot thank you enough. And I'm glad that you're still on board. And safe travels to you.
Happy to do it.
All right.
Have a happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Steve. Steve Parenti.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye, Steve. Steve Parenti, wow. Wasn't that nice of him? You ever been to the Virgin Islands yet? I'll tell you what, I've been there. It's a beautiful area, too.
Well, you know I go every year. He's at the British Virgin Islands. They're just a little bit east of our Virgin Islands.
Now, St. Thomas is our Virgin Islands.
Yes. St. Thomas, St. Croix, St. John.
That's right, the three islands. St. John is the Rockefeller thing, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and he's in the... Well, then, would he be a little bit further north or south of the American Virgin Islands?
He's going to be east. He's going to be east of them.
I see.
East and a little bit north.
Ah, okay. There you go. Most interesting. And we want to thank Ed for being able to hook this up because it sounded great. A great interview. We're going to take our break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about what is going on with health care and also Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton.
is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you having trouble navigating our complex healthcare system? I can help. This is Karen Rizzo, author of the best-selling book, Aging in America, Navigating Our Healthcare System, and host of The Karen Rizzo Show. So tune in Tuesdays at 10 a.m. here on the Tantalk Network. Call in your questions, and we will get you the answers you need from healthcare industry insiders. Together, we will discuss tips on aging healthy, wealthy, and wisely. Tuesdays at 10 a.m.
Hi, this is Tim Del Toro.
And I'm Lou Angelwolf, and we are the Grease Gurus.
Our show is broadcast every Saturday morning live at WTAN, Tantalk Radio, 1340.
That's 10 o'clock every Saturday morning for an automotive forum that is flavored with humor and insight.
We encourage you to call in and be part of the Grease Gurus show.
We'd love to have you, and we will certainly help you find your inner grease.
This show is sponsored by Tim's Performance Service Center in beautiful Tarpon Springs at 906 Verona Place, and you can reach us personally at 727-543-1601.
Aha.
Let's Go Bowling, heard on the Tantalk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time. Sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why not you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, bowling stars, old and new. Let's Go Bowling Show, GoBowlingShow.com.
At the Oaks of Clearwater, you'll enjoy a lifestyle to fit your needs. From independent living, assisted living, memory care, and skilled nursing. Our exciting independent lifestyle is the perfect combination of freedom, comfort, and security. Enjoy total independence with peace of mind. Our independent lifestyle includes chef-prepared meals in our beautiful waterfront dining room, a continental breakfast, all utilities, including cable and telephone, housekeeping with linen service, scheduled transportation, including trips for shopping, local restaurants, theater, and more. Our activities program is second to none. At the Oaks of Clearwater, you'll enjoy affordable luxury waterfront senior living with a million-dollar view. Call today, 727-445-4069, and discover where caring, compassionate service really makes the difference.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back. And wow, yeah. Ed's telling me, look at the monitor. Bill Cosby charged with sexual assault. Uh-oh. Very interesting. Bill Cosby was the model with the Huxtables, was it? And even his... you know, he for years was doing those stage shows, comedy, and he was always a clean act. And I mean, everybody respected Bill Cosby. What a Jekyll and Hyde situation with Bill Cosby. It's very, very sad. FreedomWorks, by the way, we are sponsored in part by Andrew the Master Barber. His shop is located in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580. Just west of Highway US 19 in Clearwater. Best haircut, by the way, you will get. I have been to so many, and I can tell you, at least in Pinellas County and Tampa Bay, I've never found a better place. And Andrew and his daughter, Candy, are so cordial. It's really an experience that you won't forget when you go in. You're going to leave not only with a good haircut, but you're going to leave with a smile on your face. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Columbia Plaza, State Road 580, just west of Highway US 19. They're open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30. Saturday, 8:30 to 2. And believe me, if you like our show, you will love Andrew, the Master Barber. And speaking of the Master Barber, here he is himself. Andrew, how are you doing this morning, my friend?
Paul, how are you doing today? I'm disappointed today. Very, very disappointed.
You are?
Yeah, I thought I was going to win being the most admired man of 2015.
I think you're up there.
Barack Obama beat me out.
Oh, well, listen, I'll tell you what. You know that the president almost always wins, right? No matter who it is.
I would try him. I thought it was going to be me.
I know that you're up there high on the list.
Well, I know how Hillary feels the last time he beat her now.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, when you're president. Uh-huh.
So what do you think? My buddy Mr. Trump is on the roll, my friend.
He is indeed. And, in fact, I was going to do a story on him because now I think Hillary and her her people might be a little bit worried because Donald is not afraid to say what a lot of people think. A lot of other politicians think what we'll not say. And you know that if Bill Clinton joins Hillary on the stump and says one unkind word about Donald Trump, you know what's going to happen, right?
Well, I can tell you this. He doesn't have to say any words about the Donald Trump. If he's on the trail, the party's over for the two of them.
Because you think?
He's going to say what people have been saying for the last 20 years to those people.
Exactly. You know,
he will not hold back, and that's going to put him over to 50%.
You think?
I guarantee it. I'm on it this time.
Well, I tell you what. I tend to believe that you are right. I think I always wondered why during all of that time when Hillary, you know, in and out of politics for all of these years, why these charges that are, you know, that stick against Bill Clinton were never brought up by people. What were they afraid of?
You know, you're talking about charges being brought up against her. I can't believe how the women talk, how good they talk about her. I can tell you this. If I would have done what Bill Clinton did with my wife,
we'd be in the Husqvarna.
You know where I'd be?
Yeah.
Okay? You tell me what type of a woman that is.
I know. Well, because here's the thing. As you know, she can play the victim card, and a very fawning press will go in that direction and say, how dare you? How dare you bring these things up? This poor woman has endured so much. This is why we respect her, and she needs to be in the White House again. That's what they'll do, right?
Yeah. And what about her winning the most admired woman 20 years in a row?
I know.
You got it. You cannot tell me these polls are not fixed.
No,
I think the ballot poll has got to be the most biased poll there is. It's the total opposite.
My friend, I do believe that these polls are accurate because you got to remember, it isn't how well-liked or not well-liked. Adolf Hitler would be on the poll if he was still around. It's the guys that you know the most that are going to show up.
And the American people would follow him. That's how smart they are today.
You think?
I guarantee it. I'm telling you.
So do you think, I mean, I've looked at polls between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. And let's say that that indeed is the ticket. And right now, they are in, for the last poll I saw, and I do not remember the name, but a legitimate poll, a statistical tie. Now, that means that Trump has actually come up because he was...
He was below her.
He was below her, right?
That's right.
So, do you think that Trump will continue to rise? I mean, do you honestly think, even though he's going to probably... Do you think he's going to insult his way into the White House?
Let me tell you something. He's not insulting his way. He's just saying it like it is. He's saying things I would say to somebody if they put me in that position.
Well, you're an honest guy, and you say what you feel.
That's what I'm telling you.
But that's not the rule of politics. You got to be a nice guy, and you got to be very careful about what you say about other people, right?
No. That's baloney. We're done with this PC baloney.
Oh.
Okay, PC stands for personal computer, not politically correct. We got to get that straight. Okay? I don't know where they came up with this stuff. But I'll tell you what, man. What's going on today, and I'll tell you, I'm talking with a lot of Hispanics and a lot of blacks, and you really want to laugh? Are you ready for this?
I'm ready. Go ahead.
They want to vote for Trump. You know why?
I think so. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
They're telling me that they're afraid that if they let these illegal immigrants in and everything else, that they're going to take away the money from them.
Yes. I think there's some real truth to that.
I'm telling you.
The immigration issue has been a springboard for Donald Trump's popularity. Do you believe that?
Of course.
And it's the major topic that got them really rolling. And people, no matter if they're Republicans or... Look, I've got some friends that are not necessarily Republicans that are nodding their head to Donald Trump. So I can sense it, too.
Now, the American people are fed up.
But here's the thing, Andrew, and I think this is the thing I wonder about. When the primary voters, the Republican primaries, that tend to be very conservative, get in there and they look at Donald Trump and they think about what he has done and they look at some of the other candidates, which at that point will be whittled down even more. But don't you think that they might be a little bit concerned about Donald being too much of a loose cannon?
No. Let me tell you what's going to happen, because I've seen a poll on this and I was just looking at it yesterday. They asked a question of, if Donald Trump was rejected from the Republican Party and they didn't give him the candidacy, would you hold it against the Republican Party? 98% said yes. 2% said no.
What? Who did the poll? Do you know?
You know, I forgot who it was. It was right on the computer.
Was it that? Was it the barber poll?
No. The barber poll would be 100%. Yeah, the 2% wouldn't be.
You're right. I forgot. Wow. Well, I tell you what, the barber poll is probably more accurate than most of the polls because it reflects so many nice people that come in there and get a great haircut from you. But you know they're a little bit biased because you give them such a good haircut, Andrew, that they're gonna say whatever they think you want them to hear.
That's it. Well, let me tell you something. I've got to get back to work because I got someone sitting in the chair.
Okay.
But you have a very happy Trump year, you understand?
I will, and you do the same. And it's going to be a very wild and fun ride, it seems like.
You got it, buddy. You take care. Happy New Year.
Thank you, Andrew. Happy New Year to you and Candy.
All right, buddy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There you go. Now, see what I mean? If you go over there, you can't help but he puts a smile on your face. He's such a nice guy. And if you like our show, you will love Andrew, the master barber. Well, speaking about Donald Trump, that was one of the things we were going to talk about. And he has managed to draw Hillary into a war of words. I don't know that Hillary Clinton wants to start this with him. You know, they did when Bill Clinton was getting away with the things he was getting away with, he had a fawning press, more or less. He didn't have Fox News around, you know, back then. They were not the force, Fox News, that they are today. You had Rush Limbaugh, but you didn't have Fox News. You had CNN mainly, okay? All these other things have come along since then. And so he got away with all of this stuff. He got away with it. The public was always presented what he was doing in a somewhat positive light, as much as you can make chasing women around the White House, you know, a positive light. But anyway, here's Donald Trump. He's going to bring all of this up. And the back and forth started with the GOP front runner using some off-color language to describe Hillary's 2008 defeat. He used a Yiddish term, which meant she got beaten pretty badly, right? Okay. And now, that comment by Trump has kind of started the ball rolling on this whole thing of sexism. So the other day, Donald Trump says, in so many words, I don't think that Hillary should try to throw around sexism when you've got some of the things that Bill Clinton did hanging over her. And so here we go. And I don't think they want to open that can. You got to remember that a good portion of the people that will be voting today in the election for president were not even aware of what was going on. We're not old enough, or we're not even around, you know, in the mid-80s when all of this was going on. So it's a different story for Hillary now. I think she has to be very, very careful. So we'll see what happens with Donald Trump and whether or not he can hang on. He is kind of insulting his way. I mean, he's like three times ahead of, I think it's Ted Cruz now, the latest Reuters poll. Did you know that? Did you know that Donald Trump has got close to 40% approval rating in the Republican Party, according to Reuters at this point, and his closest rival is Ted Cruz, who's at 13%. That's like one-third of what he's got. So that's amazing. Anyway, we're going to take our final break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about Governor George Pataki maybe dropping out of the presidency race and our top 10.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
5,000 years of Chinese music and dance in one night, declares the New York Times. Shenyun Performing Arts will take you on an extraordinary journey from ancient dynasties to the modern day. Experience the wonder of authentic Chinese culture. Experience Shenyun. Coming to the Mahaffey Theater, January 12th and 13th. Tickets at shenyun.com or call 888-974-3698.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio, heard every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., We'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food & Wine magazine and Bon Appetit magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is
all... Have you been struggling with family conflict, depression, or trauma? Has something been keeping you up at night, causing excessive stress and worry? Tune in to Moments of Clarity every Wednesday night at 8. After over 10 years as a psychotherapist, I realized how important it is to take the stigma out of seeking professional help. So tune in Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. The call to me can be a great first step. It may just be exactly what you need to hear.
Did you know there's a sprawling botanical paradise right in your own backyard? Come visit Sunken Gardens. Located at 1825 4th Street North, it's St. Petersburg's oldest living museum. This 100-year-old garden is home to some of the oldest tropical plants in the region. Unwind as you stroll through meandering paths, lush with exotic plants from around the world. Explore cascading waterfalls, beautiful demonstration gardens, and more than 50,000 tropical plants and flowers. Sunken Gardens provides garden tours, horticultural programs, special events, field trips, weddings, private or corporate rentals, and much more. Call 727-551-3102 for more information. That's 727-551-3102. Sunken Gardens, 1825 4th Street North, right in the heart of Old Northeast St. Petersburg. Call 727-551-3102.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on Freedom Works. My goodness, can you believe it's December the 30th? Has the year flown by or what? In the meantime, George Pataki, do you remember who he is? Former governor of New York, he decided to drop out. Guess what? I don't think anybody even knew he dropped out. That's how low he was in the presidential Republican race here. But they suspend their campaign. That way they don't have to, it's a financial thing. They call it suspending. He's out. He's basically a bit of a centrist Republican. He's not a real conservative guy. But he just didn't, you know, he thought, I'm coming from a big state. I was governor when 9/11 occurred. People will remember me. Apparently they didn't remember him. So he's out. So slowly but surely, the Republican side of this race for the presidency is sliding down. In the meantime, here is some just dessert. We've talked about this thing with gun control, right? A Virginia state senator throwing down the gauntlet with Democratic Governor Terry McAuliffe. Now, Terry McAuliffe used to be the Democratic Party chairman. He became the governor of Virginia. And there is a brewing battle over gun rights in Virginia. So here's this Virginia state senator pushing to take away the financing of the governor's armed bodyguards, okay? Unless he revokes an order that bans firearms in most state buildings. So here's the congressman, state congressman Charles Carrico. It's easy for somebody who's surrounded by armed state policemen to tell somebody else they can't carry a weapon to protect themselves. I think that is so true. Isn't it? Isn't that the height of hypocrisy? All of these, Hillary Clinton is talking about, you know, guns and violence. There must be 30 guns around her when she says it. Same thing with, of course, with the president. Do they need protection? Of course they do. Absolutely they need protection. But that same protection that they claim and have, they don't feel that this allows any other person the right to have some sort of protection. Now, McAuliffe, the governor of Virginia, signed an order 2 months ago that says open carry of firearms shall be prohibited in offices occupied by executive branch agencies unless held by law enforcement, authorized security, or military personnel authorized to carry firearms in accordance with their duties. He also called for new regulations to extend that to concealed weapons. So in response, this Charles Carrico, the Virginia congressman, drafts a budget amendment stripping the funding for McAuliffe's arm protection. And, I mean, I understand that you need to have protection of some sort when you wander into a courtroom. You don't want people wandering in with guns. Of course not. You know, you have that right. You have that right. But it all comes down to whether or not people have a right to carry firearms concealed with permits and the whole bit. And the Democrats in general don't want a lot of that. They do indeed want to restrict guns. And so turnabout seems to be fair play when it comes to things like this. Now, this is a big time for travel, right? Christmas, New Year's, and people want to visit their families. And lots of air traveling. But millions of air travelers across the country are potentially at risk of finding themselves grounded because of their IDs. You know why? Now, normally when you go to an airport here in the Tampa Bay area, if you flash your driver's license, it has a picture, and that is enough, right? But the Real ID Act, which was passed in 2005, is being implemented now. And it was meant to tighten standards for government-issued ID cards. It banned federal agencies from accepting IDs that did not meet the bar. Well, that means that that driver's licenses by themselves are not acceptable in certain states. Did you know that, according to this rule? Once this law goes in full effect, certain driver's licenses will not be legal for getting on board an airplane. Well, a lot of people don't know that. And that has the potential, of course, to ground a lot of people and cause a lot of confusion. Now, Florida, our state, is not one of those that has the problem because our driver IDs are apparently meeting the standards of the Real ID Act. But that's not always the case. At least 20 other states have until June or at the latest October of next year to get in line to apply for an extension, an exemption from this law, or it goes into effect. A handful of other states are running up against even tighter deadlines than that. In particular, Illinois, California, Missouri, New Mexico, and the Washington state, they only have extensions on their current IDs until January 10th. So, of course, you know what's going to happen is they'll delay this particular ID law. Maybe they should just get rid of it altogether. I think it's crazy, in my own opinion. In the meantime, a lawsuit, speaking about airplanes and airlines, a lawsuit has been filed in Arizona seeking a class action status to represent thousands of people who claim the FAA violated their civil rights. They took a course called Collegiate Training Initiative. It was a course that was started by the FAA in the 90s. And until recently, the results of those tests usually meant these people got jobs. But there is now a racially diverse tenet, which means that a lot of these people that took the tests and were not minorities are being brushed aside and not given the opportunity to become FAA certified employees. Close to 3,000 of them who spent money obtaining these degrees through this program and passed the required skills tests were suddenly ruled ineligible because they were not a minority. That is unfair, and so therefore they are filing this class action suit in Arizona. So there you go. All right, I think it's time. We got this is, you know, we do a top 10 every single show, and I think this is one of the most unique ones we have ever done. This comes from Live Science. And since it's the end of the year, the top 10 strangest animal discoveries of the year. Now, keep in mind, these animals may no longer exist, but you know how they find the fossils, right? And they have found things that are included in this top 10 of animals that don't exist anymore, but they didn't know existed before. So without further ado, here we go. These are the top 10 strangest animal discoveries of the year. Number 10. It is the Tyrannosaurus Rex's vegetarian cousin. You know Tyrannosaurus Rex?
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen them in, have them in museums. Well, they were...
T-Rex for short.
T-Rex is short. Well, this is T-Rex's vegetarian cousin. It's a dinosaur. It walked on its hind legs. It had robust forelimbs, looked like those of other, what they call Jurassic theropods. But it wouldn't eat anything other than vegetables and plants and leaves and stuff like that. So that's number 10. And they just discovered it this year. So they call it T-Rex's vegetarian cousin. Number 9. This is another one. This is called a pig-nosed rat with vampire teeth. How's that for a look? An elusive rodent from the Indonesian island of Sulawesi. A newly identified species and a weird one. It's alive and living there today. It has a hog-like nose and oversized upturned teeth that would make a vampire jealous. Number 8, a four-legged snake. Modern snakes on their bellies, but 120 million years ago, their ancestors, believe it or not, sported 4 feet, each with 5 digits. They just figured it out.
Wasn't very fast.
No. Number 7, the enormous sea scorpion. The sea scorpion that they have found is, and this goes back to 460 million years ago when you and I were just kids, was huge, and so they called it the enormous sea scorpion. Number 6, we have to move fast, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
I can't describe all of them because they're so strange, but the Skeletaurus. The Skeletaurus looks like a skeleton. Peacock spiders, named for their bright colors and dance-like courtship rituals, but have a scorpion-like cartoon imprint on the outside of their shells, so they're called Skeletaurus. Number 5, hippo-sized vacuum cleaner. And this is a newly identified extinct hippopotamus. About 23 million years ago, a mammal, it used its long snout as a vacuum cleaner. Number 4. The Dementor wasp. It injects a paralyzing toxin into its prey's belly before chowing down on it, still alive.
Ouch.
Yeah, and this thing's still around. It was the inspiration for Harry Potter's Dementors, by the way. It eats cockroaches. That's a good thing, I guess. There you go. Number 3. The terror bird. Now, this is one of those extinct things, but it was a flightless bird that stood 10 feet tall with a hooked beak. How does that? 10 feet tall with a hooked beak, a bird. All right, number 2. They have discovered the smallest snail on Earth. It's in Borneo. You cannot see it with the naked eye. You got to put it under a microscope. It lives on limestone hills. Finally, the top strangest animal discovery, 2015.
Maybe a shark or something?
No, it's called a sneezing monkey, Snubby.
Ah, the sneezing monkey.
Yeah, it's nicknamed for its upturned nose that collects rainwater on wet days. It's a white and black monkey, lives in northern Myanmar, and can be heard sneezing off of its nose puddles.
That's how it got caught.
It's how it got caught. It's been sneezing away. Kind of a sad thing, I think. Well, listen, you have a great 2016 New Year's. We're going to be taping our show Friday. We will be back Monday live. Happy New Year, everybody.